to use an example I'm going to, and if it doesn't work, we'll switch it around the other way. But when a big company like Jim Pattison, so he's got overweighty nesters, Save On Foods, I think that's public domain because if I know about it, everybody else does. Does that have anything to do with incorporation?
Yeah, so those would be, he would probably have a large parent corporation, and then he would have a bunch of subsidiary corporations for every small business unit that he owns. I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming that that's probably what would be happening. And certainly, for what I do for my corporate clients, that's a large part of what we try to do. We try to get a corporate structure in place so you can limit liability but use your money in a very tax-efficient manner between your corporations. There's lots of for business owners, that's really where we can add value is helping the business owner structure their affairs.
So it's how much money you'd get before you decide to incorporate. Does the number of staff members you have, their employees, have to take into consideration?
It's more probably an income level, and once again, limiting liability. That's probably the two main determiners.
The question, if you're catching this on the fly, was when does it make sense for a small business to incorporate? Thank you for that. I get asked a lot myself, too, because I'm at the same stage right now. Mm-hmm. We'll take a question here from Princeton that came in earlier here. Are there any special rules regarding charitable giving that people should be aware of?
Yeah, I just did a video presentation for the Community Foundation of the South Okanagan just on this very topic. Aaron McCran, yeah, mm-hmm. A good friend of mine. And I would say there's been a policy objective in the last several budgets for facilitating people who have charitable objectives that want to make charitable donations. And there's lots of very powerful rules, certainly when you're doing estate planning or even on an annual basis. So if you make your a charitable donation, the best way to think about it is if you factor in the federal tax credit, donation credit, and the provincial credit, you're probably only really spending 63 cents for every dollar. And so you're basically getting a large chunk of that back in tax savings. So I think it's important for people to understand the true benefit they're getting from those donations.
I guess you got to put your heart, you want to put it where your heart is too, though, not just saving money and doing everything financially.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of people were finding, part of their estate planning, they have a charitable objective and they want to give back to the community, whether it's the community foundation or a specific charity. And I think it's important for people to understand that there's actually a set of rules called donation in kind, which are extremely powerful. And I'll briefly try to explain them.
Yeah, that's good.
The rules relate to transferring marketable securities as opposed to cash. Transferring marketable securities to a charity. If you think about it, the normal scenario is that let's say people have a Bank of Montreal stock that they've owned forever, has a large gain. And if they sell it, they're going to have to pay capital gains tax on it. And what some people do is they, in order to generate cash to make a charitable donation, they sell the stock and they pay the tax, and then they give the after-tax money to the charity. Well, actually, there's rules out there that allow you to actually donate the stock itself, and the charity gets the stock, they get the full value, and you avoid all tax related to that. So, simple estate planning would be to pick and choose how you make your charitable donations. It may be better for you to donate a securities portfolio like stocks and bonds as opposed to cash. So yeah, very powerful rules.
Do you get that too, Rick?
Oh yeah, like it's definitely a planning tool that you can use, and that conversation about wills, estates, charitable giving, I have with every client.
Very good. Thanks. We've got time for another question. We've got time for another break as well. If you're listening to the long and the short of it this day, Peter McIntosh has joined us today from White Kennedy. He works out of the office in Penticton, and interesting to note that he came to us all the way from Ontario. So we're going to roll back here in just a minute. If you have any questions to ask, you can email them into us. If you're talking to Rick David, you can bring him up to his office too on the second floor of the City Center building in Penticton. We're back after this.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's City Center building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations and, more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Center building.
Rick's got good friends and good connections on that too. Peter McIntosh is guesting here from White Kennedy on our show here today. And we've got another question. I'll get to this because our show wraps up so very quickly. What are the dangers, Peter, of gifting real property to family members?
Yeah, this is an area that that I actually see quite a bit. And, you know, whether it's real property, which is real estate, or you know, any kind of asset, like, once again, a stock or a bond or that sort of thing. A lot of times a parent will put a child on their on title of their assets, whether it's their house or a rental property or a stock portfolio. And it's for a couple of reasons: to, you know, kind of assist in administering their estate when, you know, when they pass away, or they also want to put them on so they can avoid probate. Now, that asset will just flow to a child, and it doesn't get probated through the court process, and you can avoid probate fees. You know, probate fees are around $14,000 on $1 million worth of value. So it sounds like a lot of money, but it's only about 1.4%. It's actually quite a small amount of tax. The bigger issue is when you start transferring title of assets, there's actually normally some kind of tax effect that you've got to worry about. So for example, if someone puts a child on the title of their stock portfolio, effectively what they've done is they've sold half of their stock portfolio to their child, and then they have to deal with the tax consequences of basically disposing of all their half their investments. So by trying to avoid probate, someone can easily walk into a very, very expensive and much more expensive income tax problem. So it's whenever people are changing title or putting children on title of assets, you got to tread very carefully. You have to actually, if you're going to do it and you don't want to trigger tax, you've got to have some kind of document that says, hey, you know, I'm really just doing this for estate administration. I'm not really giving legal title to my child. So, yeah.
I've got an interesting scenario going right now with my brother and I, because our mom passed away last year. But dad's still alive, but he's got Alzheimer's and can't make decisions. So things that are in his name. Mom handled things very well, and luckily we've a banker in Creston was very helpful. But it's very odd, because all of a sudden the mind capacity is not there, but names are on documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where power of attorneys need to be in place, and those kind of legal aspects need to be taken care of. And once again, it requires having a discussion about estate planning earlier rather than later. Obviously you can't have a valid discussion, or your dad can't sign a document now because of his faculties aren't there. And so you really need to kind of get those things in order and have that kind of tough discussion about really what's going to happen next sooner.
Mom took care of that much better than we thought. It was we got all that going. I guess people don't like to talk about death, because death is death. But again, Rick, it's so important to have all these things tied up now. There's no complications later.
Yeah, it's something that you have to have that conversation, and you have to be very transparent and very frank about it. But it is important that, you know, people understand that even though it's a delicate subject, that, you know, it's one that we got to sort of overcome.
death and taxes are the for sure ones. We've just got like a minute left here. Can we get a comment from both of you? Just, I don't know, tax time, tax information, how you work together, whatever it is. We'll sign it off for the day, and we'll certainly invite you to come back again, Peter. Thank you while we can here.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, obviously Rick and I work together, and I'm not an investment advisor, I'm not an insurance advisor, and I rely on experts in those fields such as Rick to handle that aspect. I'm a tax specialist and an accountant, and you really kind of need a team approach for dealing with taxes and estate planning in general.
Right, Rick?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Peter. Quite often there'll be, you know, things that I come across, you know, I find some sort of a risk in a certain situation, and it's basically based on taxes or something like that. I pick up the phone and I can phone them and, basically have an answer here very quickly. And so it's basically a system so that everybody gets the best possible advice that I can possibly deliver to them.
Peter McIntosh guesting from Moyta Kennedy. Rick David, of course, with the long and the short of it. And we'll come back and do this again next Sunday. I want to thank everybody for listening here today. The opinions and commentary are solely that of Rick David and not that of IPC Securities Corporation. Listeners are advised to talk to their own financial advisor for their own financial advice. IPC Securities Corporation is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. If you're listening in real time right now on South Okanagan Country Internet Radio, we'll take you back to your regularly programming. If you caught up with that in the middle, you can hear it back this Sunday at 8:10 on So Country. Now back to our show from today.